Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
For many women, menopause can disrupt a lot more than their monthly cycle. According to the AARP, 84% of women going through menopause say the physical and psychological changes they've experienced have in some way impeded their lives at home and at work. There are over 33 million working women in the United States aged 45 and older. That's about 20% of the entire U.S. workforce. In the United Kingdom, those numbers are even higher, where women over 50 are the fastest growing group of employees in the country. Unlike the U.S., politicians across both major parties in the U.K. have begun calling for workplace menopause policies that would make life more tolerable for menopausal women. Joining me now to discuss is Chris Bulbul, Chair of Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies at the University of Massachusetts, Boston, and the author of New Blood, Third Wave Feminism, and the Politics of Menstruation. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Deborah Garlick, director of Henpicked, Menopause in the Workplace. That's a UK organization that introduces menopause awareness, education, and policies to workplaces. Thanks for being with us, Deborah.
Thank you.
Chris, let's start with you. What are some of the main symptoms of menopause, and how long do they tend to last for most women?
Well, menopause, clinically speaking, is the point in time 12 months after the last menstrual period. And leading up to that point, when women experience changes in the balance of hormones, that's called perimenopause. But we often collapse it all and call it all menopause. And while this process is natural, it's not pathology, it's not a disease, many of the symptoms can feel real uncomfortable for a lot of people. And they include hot flashes, that's a big one, sleep disturbances, night sweats, mood changes, weight gain, slowed metabolism, vaginal dryness, thinning hair, dry skin, loss of breast fullness. It's a real host of things, and they vary tremendously from woman to woman.
And Chris, what are some ways that these symptoms can affect the day-to-day lives of women that you talk to?
It really depends, again, on the individual woman and individual place of work and the individual lifestyle. But for instance, hot flashes can be terribly disruptive. They really arrest your attention. They can require changing what you're wearing. And in many places, that's not practical. You can break out in a lot of sweat. You can turn very red. And this can be obviously very visible to others around you and therefore make the menopausal woman really self-conscious. I know I've experienced that as a teacher in the classroom, where I have to make a decision on the spot. Am I going to call attention to this and sort of put it out there, or am I going to pretend like everything is, you know, operating as normally? Many menopausal women talk about the brain fog, which can be related to the sleep disturbance, or it can be a symptom of its own. These kinds of things can undermine concentration at work, attentiveness to detail, and just general well-being.
Deborah, what are you noticing that women are dealing with when they're going through menopause at work? What impact is it having on their day-to-day ability to feel good when they're at the job?
Building on what Chris was saying, it can have a massive impact on work. Women are hiding their symptoms. Chris mentioned brain fog. And certainly lots of women that we speak to say that they feel they've got early onset dementia, and it really affects their ability to do their job to the standard that they want to.
And Deborah, it seems like we've gotten somewhat better about talking about pregnancy in the workplace. Is menopause still taboo at work?
It's still taboo at work, yes. Well, it's actually taboo in many places. I think it fundamentally comes down to our perception of menopause, old mindsets of it being old and past it is actually a phrase that we've heard quite a lot. And that's not just in the workplace, that's absolutely everywhere. There's a significant lack of knowledge and the symptoms and ways of treating them.
Deborah, what have you heard from people in the UK who feel like they were discriminated against because they were going through menopause?
We have research that says one in four women considers leaving work as a result of their menopause experience. Now, personally, I thought that was too high when it came out in 2016. But the stories that we hear from women is they've got to a stage where Their symptoms are affecting them that much that they can't cope with work on top of everything else.
We're going to talk a little bit about what you are doing in the UK to move this conversation forward. But Chris, in the United States, particularly right now, a lot of the issues that affect reproductive health and women's health are under the microscope. Have you seen or heard from women in the workplace who are suffering or feel like they've been discriminated against because they're going through menopause?
Generally speaking, women experience discrimination and the experience of discreditation, if you will, because of their reproductive bodies, right? So across the menstrual lifespan, women often experience that they have to keep their bodies, if you will, disciplined, which of course isn't practical. I mean, we bring our whole selves to the workplace. And if our whole selves are accommodated, then we're going to be more productive and our work quality of life is going to be stronger. So it's not isolated to menopause. It's really the whole reproductive lifespan experience for women.
Deborah, your organization is helping to bring these issues about menopause policies to employers. What does that look like right now? How do you even begin that conversation?
We begin that conversation. We've actually developed what we consider to be best practice for organizations. And that is, it starts with awareness, getting everybody to talk about menopause openly. So many people use a codified term. They'll say the M word or use any term rather than actually say menopause. So we encourage everybody to talk about menopause openly, men and women. This isn't a women's issue. We do a lot of education both for line managers, because line managers don't know how to deal with menopause. And most importantly, how to support a menopausal woman. So we help them understand what a reasonable adjustment might look like.
And Deborah, members of parliament in the UK have called for employers to have menopause policies. I mean, what's really tipping the scales here?
What's tipping the scales is the context in the UK. Menopausal women are the fastest growing group of workers. It is covered by employment law, both age, sex and disability discrimination in the UK. And more importantly, whilst policy is one thing, it will be great if we do get to the point where menopause policies are required legally. But over the last 3 or 4 years, many inspirational organizations have already put in place menopause awareness, education and support. They're already educating all of their teams on menopause. And that's going to change the culture of the UK in our perception of menopause.
Chris, are we anywhere near that conversation in the United States right now?
Well, I think there are conversations, but it's a real contested conversation. It often centers around the question of leave in the context of something broader, menstrual leave. And that's a hotly debated policy move because it can actually be regressive, some argue, in the sexist workplace in which we're embedded, because we still haven't, you know, crack the nut of gender inequality in the workplace. We still construct the woman worker as less reliable, as less attached, and so on. And so while putting menstruation and menopause on the map in the workplace and acknowledging the real embodied needs of all workers, and not only those on the menstrual spectrum, but all kinds of workers with all kinds of embodied needs, while that's really positive, in some ways, many people worry that these kinds of accommodations might be ahead of their time because they are forged in a site where we don't take women workers seriously compared to their male counterparts.
Chris Bobel is a professor and chair of women's gender and sexuality studies at the University of Massachusetts, Boston. And Deborah Garlick is director of Henpicked Menopause in the Workplace. Thanks to you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.